The brethren here, he says, I was not covetous concerning wealth. And we talked about that last week. It is one of the Ten Commandments. And the worst thing about that is that you begin to reach for wealth. And when you reach for wealth, you can come away from where God would have you. But then Paul said he didn't stop there. He said, I want you to understand my testimony concerning what I wore as well. I was not covetous concerning wear. Notice what he says in the same verse, verse 33. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Now, let's think about that statement for a minute. I'm preaching and teaching to a bunch of elders here who are leaders. And Paul said, I didn't covet your gold. I didn't covet your silver. And I didn't covet your wear, what you were wearing, your apparel. What kind of statement is that to make to a bunch of preachers? Kind of odd, isn't it? What does apparel have to do with anything? And especially when you're talking to other Christian leaders. Gold, we can understand. Silver, we can understand. But apparel, Jerry?
A lot of times people dress for prestige, and so they're dressed really fancy, or they're very high class, and they don't have to wear $5,000
suits or something.
I'm talking about today. I know they get more suits now. But I've seen people spend hard $10 on a good suit.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Why do you say covet no man's wear, the apparel? Gold, silver, we understand. You can buy stuff with that. But apparel? Kind of odd. Is jewelry even? Apparel, it's your clothes, what you wear. Your clothes. As so he said, I have not coveted anybody's gold, silver, or apparel. I was not covetous concerning wealth, but then I was not covetous concerning wear. That's interesting. Back in Bible days, your apparel was very important, and it symbolized something. Did not the king wear a crown? It symbolized, and that was part of his apparel. Did not the priest wear robes? Weren't they made very, very elaborate? Yes, they were. So back in Bible's days, what a person wore was a symbol of their success or what they stood for. Think about it today. What does the judge have on when he comes into court? What color is it? Black. We all know that. Amen. What color does a doctor have on normally when he comes in? He's got a white robe on, or he's got some scrubs on with white on it, because his apparel means something. It stands for something. And so it still does today. What about a scientist? What does a scientist normally have on? Same thing, a lab coat. And most of them wear glasses. No, I'm just joking. They don't, amen. And, you know, so when you look at that, they normally have that going on. How do we expect a lawyer to dress oftentimes? In a suit. Now, be it as stereotypical as it may, that's what we have been grown to know. If you have a suit oftentimes and you're in court, you must be important. You've got the black robe on, you must be important. And so these things meant something. And so back in Bible days, your apparel spoke volumes about who you were. Now, today we're going away from that in religious circles quite a bit. We're dressing down because we don't want to, what's the word I'm looking for, appear elevated, so to speak. I'm not better than you. I'm just like you. You know, you can wear a suit and still not have that kind of air about yourself. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I try not to put off an air that I'm better than you, because I'm no better than you. I'm made of the same dirt you made of. Anybody made of any different dirt? I think we all came from planet Earth dirt, right? Amen. And so I think I've got red blood. Anybody got different color blood? Amen. Everybody got white teeth? Well, mine's are yellow from coffee, but amen.
You'd be positive.
You'd be positive. But it's still red. Amen. It's still red. And so everybody has, so there is no big eyes and little U's. Back in these days, how you dress was a symbol of who you were. And Paul said, when I came there, I didn't want your gold. I didn't covet that. I didn't covet your silver. It wasn't about what you wore, your apparel. He said, I didn't want what you wore. I'm just here to do a job. And my job is to give out the gospel. That's my job. Amen. So what a person wore was important back in these days. And apparel was important in biblical times. It stated who you were. Trivia question. What did they gamble for at the feet of Jesus? Joshua? His clothes. They gambled for Jesus' clothes. Why? there was something important about what he had on. Go over to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. They gambled for Jesus's clothes. And that's kind of ironic, and it fits right in with this because Paul says, hey, look, I didn't covet any man's apparel. John chapter 19, and as we look at this thought process here, because the clothes did matter in Bible times, they talked about who you were, amen? By the way, the clothes of the criminal were oftentimes removed before the crucifixion if they were worth something, and guess whose clothes they were? No? Well, the criminal, the person that's being crucified or whatever, their clothes belong to someone. Guess who normally got their clothes? No, not the relative. The soldiers. The people doing the crucifixion were the ones to disrobe him, and so the clothes belonged to them. And if there was any significance in the clothes, they got them. Notice John chapter 19 and verse 23. It says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his, what's that word? Garments. And made how many parts? Four parts. To who? To every soldier a part. And also his what? His coat. Now, what was significant about the coat? Now, the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Now, I'm not a seamstress. Anybody a sewer? Is that really important that this coat was without a seam? Is that pretty hard to do? And I figured as much, amen. Now, I look at my pants. I've got a seam here. They had to sew that stuff together. I've got a seam here. They had to sew that together. Got seams everywhere, amen. You look at your clothes. You have seams. Yes, Ms. Dawson? Oh, amen. Let's work, amen. So I take my coat off, and my coat was not woven without seam. I've got seams right down the middle, right there. Got my arm sewed on. Got a seam there. But this coat, it says, was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Now, the word garments there means apparel, cloak, clothes, raiment, or robes, or whatever they had on. The word for coat there means a tunic or shirt or clothes. Now, this is noteworthy. This is very noteworthy. Say, preacher, what's so noteworthy about this? John chapter 19 and verse 23 says, now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. That is very important. The fourfold gospel commentary says this about this. It says, this was the tunic or undergarment of Jesus. It reached from the shoulders to the knees. Okay, so shoulders to the knees. Now notice this. Ordinarily, it was in two pieces, which were fastened at the shoulders by a clasp. But Josephus tells us that the tunic of the high priest was an exception to this rule because it was without seam. The high priest had a garment that was without seam. So what does that tell us about Jesus? High priest. High priest. That's interesting that the Bible points that out. That what the soldiers were gambling for, one piece of that was without seam, and they refused to rip it apart because it was so important and it was so rare because only the high priest had it. And Jesus had it. Amazing. Amazing. It says, thus in dividing the Lord's garments, the soldiers found a suggestion of the high priesthood. What did the one soldier say? Truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. And so the clothes do matter. Come down to the next verse there, verse number 24. And by the way, it says four parts there in verse 23. It said it made four parts. Four parts because there were four soldiers there, and each one got a part. One of the above in order mentioned, each got something that was divided to them of Jesus's apparel. And verse 24 says, they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, speaking of this garment that was without seam. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now, did the soldiers know that they were fulfilling scripture? They didn't read the Bible. Amen. They didn't read the Bible at all. And by the way, do clothes make the man? No, the man makes the clothes. Amen. I've seen some expensive dress, tired people. Amen. I mean, they look good, but they open up their mouth and you think, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. You see some of these boxers and NBA players and sports figures, they come dressed like $1 million, but they open up their mouth and you think, foul, foul, foul. There is nothing good about you except your clothes, it seems like. Amen. And so clothes don't make the man, but the man makes the clothes. The word raiment there in verse 24 is the same word as garment. And the vesture there in verse number 24, that it did cast lights, means the upper garment or the clothing or apparel. Clothes don't make the man. So Paul lets them know that his testimony concerning wealth and silver and gold and wear their apparel, he was not covetous when it came to that. He didn't care about how he looked from that standpoint. It's not about what I have on that makes me who I am. It's about the God in whom I serve and the gospel that I give. That makes me who I am. By the way, it's the same for you. We can look like $1 million, but what do we look like in God's eyes? That's what matters. God's not interested in your clothes from that perspective. Now, should we be modest? Yes, we should. But God's not looking at how you look to impress others. Why? God says you need to impress me. And you impress me when you do my will. Amen. And so Paul said, look, I wasn't after your money. I wasn't after your gold. Amen. It wasn't about your wealth and it wasn't about your wear. Amen. He goes on with this testimony as well. Number three, go down to verse number 34. Go back to Acts chapter 20. And so Paul said, you know, my testimony concerning my wealth or your wealth. I was not covetous. You know, my testimony concerning wear. I was not covetous about that. But then he says something else here towards the close of his address here. Paul's testimony concerning work. Amen. And by the way, work has gotten a bad rap these days. Young people don't want to work. Now, it's no different in our days. We didn't want to work either, did we? No. But guess what? If we didn't, we got it. Amen. Nowadays, children don't want to work. And now if you give it to them, they may call up the authorities on you. Amen. They made me wash dishes. Oh, you poor soul. You don't have to wash dishes the rest of your life. Yeah, that's what I thought. You better grow up. If you mess it up, guess what you ought to do? You ought to clean it up. If you trash it, you need to pick it up. Amen. If you dirtied it, guess what? You need to clean it up. Enough of this stuff. Well, you know, I shouldn't have to do that because I didn't dirty it up. Well, we cleaned a lot of your stuff that we didn't dirty up. Come on now. Preach, sister. Amen. And so we're raising a generation of wimpy children that don't want to work. I hate to see what society is going to look like in 20 years. Because everybody's expecting this. Give me a handout. There is very little manual labor being done now. And it started, think about it, back when you was growing up, what did the garbage men look like? Two guys on a truck that got out of the truck, got the garbage can. What'd they do with it? Dumped it in the trash can, put it back down there, and walked down to the next one and did the same thing all day long. Now we got one guy in a truck, picks it up with a little mechanical arm, pushing the button like George Jetson, picking it up. Hey, folks, that's not how I was raised. I was raised manually taking it out. Amen. When I was raised, we had a garbage can with no wheels on it. You know what Greg had to do because he didn't have any sisters when it was too heavy? Drag it around to the front yard. My two sons now got wheels. Tilt it. And roll it to the back. Got it made. And have nerve to complain. It's too heavy. It's on wheels. Use the wheels. I had to pick mine up, and my dad would throw bricks and dirt and stuff in there. Ugh. Can I get a sister to help me out? No, that's your job, Greg. Don't remind me. Amen. Hey, I didn't have a brother to help me with that. What am I saying? We're raising a generation that doesn't want to work. They don't want to do anything. Well, how do we get away from that? How did we get away from that so quickly? Kids having kids. And the kids didn't want to work, and so they're not making their kids work. Amen. Amen. Paul said down there in verse number 35 or verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul said, look, let me tell you about my testimony concerning work. I was committed concerning work. It didn't matter. I work wherever I was at. Paul was committed to preach the gospel, whether he was supported financially or had to work. He said, my testimony was squeaky clean. Go back to Acts chapter 18 and notice verse number 3 in Acts chapter 18. Of course, this is when Paul gets to Corinth here. And when he gets to Corinth, he finds Aquila and Priscilla. And notice what he says in verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the what? Same craft, which is a tent maker, he abode with them. And what's that next word? Wrought. Who knows what wrought means? Josh, work. He said he was of the same craft, and so he stayed with him, and he wrought, or he worked, for by their occupations they were what? They were tent makers, and he did what in the synagogue every Sabbath day? He reasoned, verse 4, in the synagogue. He said, look, I got to work to support myself in giving out the gospel, but guess what? I'm going to find time to go to church, amen? And by the way, if you got a job, never let your job get in the way of God's business, amen? Now, I know sometimes you can't help it, and it's beyond your control. I understand that. But when it comes to the fact of you making a choice not to be here, Paul said, look, I'm going to be there on the Sabbath. That's where I'm going to be. Amen. Now, I got to work. Got to make these tents. Got to do this. Amen. Aquila, I'm with you. Amen. But guess what? On the Sabbath, we're going to close that shop. Amen. Or if you don't close your part, I'm closing my part. Amen. And he was there. Never let the world will take you as far as they can take you away from God's will. Amen. Because it's all about money. We live in a capitalistic society. It's all about money. The more you have, the more you are. Amen. And that is not true. That is not true. Yeah, the more you want. Amen. And so never let the world. He said, hey, look, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. He was where he needed to be, even though he was a tent maker. So Paul had a testimony concerning work. He said, I have to work. I understand that. But I'm not going to let it take me away from my worship. Amen. Work and worship, they do go together. They are not separate entities. They are not diametrically opposed. Man don't work, don't what? Don't eat. Amen. And so they are synonymous. They work together. Paul said, look, this is what I did. And so Paul's testimony concerning work was consistent no matter where he went. He wrought. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9 with me real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. And by the way, adults, we have to make sure that our children and our grandchildren are being taught the right way, that work is not a bad word. Amen. They have this idea that work is a punishment. When God made Adam and Eve, he put them in the garden. And guess what he did? He tilled. Tilled means to work. Brother White was on the farm. He knows what that's like. Amen. They tilled the ground. They had to take care of it. Why? Showing us that work is something that we got to do. Amen. By the way, will we work in heaven? I'm sure we're not going to be on vacation the rest of our lives. Amen. I'm sure there will be something to do. We're not going to lay up on heavenly lounge chairs with our feet propped up and having somebody fan us all day long. Oh, this is the life heaven. Oh. Fan me some more, angel. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be like that. Amen. But we have this picture of us up in heaven, swinging on a heavenly hammock, listening to some Hawaiian music. We're on this heavenly beach. Amen. And we're not going to work forever. It's fooey. Get that junk out of here. Man was made to work. But we got this idea that when I get to heaven, I don't have to do nothing. You better change your thinking. You're going to be in for a rude awakening. Amen. You're going to get a pink slip the first day. I'm on strike for what? You ain't did nothing yet, amen. So you in heaven now. But in heaven, I'm not supposed to work. Says who? Do the angels work? If nothing else, they're crying, holy, holy, holy. That'll take a lot out of you. Keep doing that about 100 times, amen. And it said they're crying this all the time, amen. And now, are we looking forward to heaven? Yes, we are. Praise God for it. But don't get this idea that we're going to get there and we're not going to work, amen. There will be some work. Now, the thing that separates it is this body here gets old and it gets tired and it doesn't want to work. How many have heard the angels complaining about praising God and worshiping God and working for God? Anybody? Any takers? There's only one angel that complained. That was Satan. Because he wanted to worship. There's only one. The rest of the angels, you don't find them complaining about what they have to do. Why? We're going to have a different body and we will be in an atmosphere to work, and we don't have to worry about this body that ties us down, gets us tired, gets us fatigued, gets us sick, Miss Duffy, amen. Hair falls out, amen. Nails get long. We look like Nebuchadnezzar, amen. I mean, it's terrible. It really is. Hey, but he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9, what's that? What did I tell y'all to go to? 2 Corinthians 11, 9. And notice Paul's testimony here. He says, and when I was present with you and wanted, basically, I was in need. I was what? Chargeable to who? No, man. He said, you didn't have to buy anything for me. My expense didn't come at your account. He says, for that which was lacking to me or that which I needed, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. Who was that? That's Philippi. He says, and in all things I have kept myself from being what? Burdensome unto who? You. And so will I keep myself. Paul said, look, when I came to you, it wasn't about you supplying my need. Macedonian, the Philippian Christians helped me out there, but I was not burdensome to you. He said, I did what I needed to do to make sure that I had what I needed to have. Amen. Notice what he says down there in verse number 10. As the truth of the Christ is in me, so no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not, God knoweth. He said, it's not because I don't love you that I didn't let you take care of me. He says, verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them with desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. He said, look, there's some people out there saying, Paul's just in it for the money. He said, I'm cutting that off. I'm cutting that off. You're not going to give any occasion to say that I'm in it for the money because nobody had to support me. I got a job. I got a J-O-B. I worked. My hands got out there and made some tents. I did what I needed to do. So don't you even go there. And he gives you their testimony down there in verses 13, 14, and 15 about them being false apostles. He said, that's what they are. Amen. He said, but that's not my testimony. And go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. Notice what he says here. Again, this is all concerning his work. He said, look, I wasn't afraid of work. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. And as a result, we have to raise up a generation that's not afraid of work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 9. And notice what Paul says down there. He says, for ye remember, brethren, our what? Labor and what? Travail. For laboring when? Night and day, because we would not be what? Chargeable unto any of you. Now, he said the same thing to Corinth. He's saying the same thing to Thessalonica. He said, look, that's my testimony. When I come here, it's not to see about you giving me a bunch of money. It's about me working to give you the gospel. That's what it's about. I'm trying to give you something. I'm not so big about trying to get something from you. If you want to give it to me, amen. But that's not why I'm here. He says down there, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable, be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you what? The gospel of God. He says, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Amen. He said, that's what we were out to do, is to give the gospel and not being chargeable to you. Go over one chapter to chapter 3. And Paul gives the same encouragement here, chapter 3. And notice verse number, I'm sorry, it is 2 Thessalonians. I mean, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. And I think that's not it. Okay, yeah, there it is. Notice verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught or nothing, but wrought with what? Labor and what? Travail. How long? Night and day, that we might be not what? Chargeable to any of you. Paul said, when I wrote to you the first time, it was this way. I'm writing to you the second time, and it's the same way. My goal is not to get from you. My goal is to give to you. By the way, we've got these young folks coming in here and these other. Our job is not to get from them. Our job is to give to them. We have what they need. The only thing that's going to change their lives into something positive and productive is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. And then to teach them and train them how God wants their life ordered. It is not our way, it's God's way. And so we're not trying to get from them as much as we're trying to give to them. Pastor White spent an hour and a half in here with the family just yesterday trying to give to them. And he put up with little Junior there, amen, running around in here, amen. He closed the doors off and batting down the hatches, amen. And had a good time, amen, and just gave them the gospel, making sure they understand why. We don't want from you. We're trying to give to you. If you're sincerely seeking the Lord, we want to give the Lord, amen. And that's what Paul said here. Give me one more verse there. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 9. Not because we have not power to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not what? Work, neither should he eat. In other words, like my father used to tell me, man don't work, man don't eat. Amen. My children hear that all the time. Man don't work, man don't eat. What about faith? Girl either. Girl don't work, girl don't eat. Amen. Why? I want my children to know that you have to work. This society owes you nothing. This government owes you nothing. Although everybody got this out. Everybody want a handout. Nobody wants to work now. Everybody wants to be lazy and sit back. Now, is our generation going in that direction? Yes, it is. But guess what? I still need to get out and do some work. I've got to do some manual labor. And Paul said, look, my testimony concerning work. He said, I was committed concerning work. He said, in Thessalonica, I told you. He said, in Corinth, I told you. In Acts, I told you. I was not lazy concerning work. Go back to Acts chapter 20. And we're going to get ready to close with this. Amen. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter number 20, notice what Paul goes on to say here in verse number 34. He says, yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So he says, you know my testimony concerning wealth. You know my testimony concerning where. You know my testimony concerning work. He said, but let me share with you my testimony concerning the weak. He says, you know what? I was committed to work. I wasn't covetous when it came to where. I wasn't covetous when it came to wealth, but I was caring when it concerned the weak. Verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. He said, on the other hand, he said, what you ought to do is labor and support the weak. He said, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul said, you know what? My testimony concerning the weak, I was caring concerning the weak. I let you know that you need to care for them. If you have something, you need to help others that don't have what you have. Now, this is going to be your trivia question I'm going to give you for next week. Does anybody recall where Jesus said these words? Now, don't answer now. That's your trivia for next week. We'll talk about it next week. Notice what he says. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. I remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Where is that found in the Bible? That's your trivia and your research for next week. Tony's writing it down already. And we're going to talk about that. Some of you got study Bibles. You're probably trying to look at it already. Amen. Use your resources. Think about the words that are there. How he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do your homework next week, because Paul said, you know, concerning my testimony when it came to the weak, I was caring concerning the weak. And he said, and also was my Savior. My Savior was caring when it came to the weak. And my Savior said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. By the way, is it more blessed to give than to receive? If you're in the right spirit, it is. Yeah. It is. It is. If you're in the right spirit, the spirit of Christ, it is always better to give to help somebody else. It is always better. Why? My God should supply my need. If I'm doing what God has told me to do by being a giver, then guess what? I put God on notice that I don't have, and guess what God's got to do now? He's got to meet my need. He's got to give to me because I'm being generous in giving. Now, I'm not being unwise. I'm not saying you go out there and just start throwing your pocketbook out. I'm giving. No, no. There's foolishness involved with that. Amen. But being a wise steward of what you have. When you're a wise steward of what you have and you give. Give and it shall be what? Who said that? Jesus said that. So when you give, it's more blessed to give, than receive. You are putting God on notice. I'm doing what you said. I'm giving. And you said give, and it shall be given. So when you look at Paul's testimony here concerning the weak, he said, I was caring concerning the weak. He said, I made sure that I was an example of what Jesus said that we ought to be, a giver. By the way, you can't outgive God. Never could, never will be able to. I was talking about that in Sunday school, how God gave us $495,000 for this church. I can't outgive God. I was talking about giving up my house and my car and giving up this, and God just came down and said, I don't have cattle on a thousand hills. I don't need that. Here, take that money. And guess who he used to give it? Shall men give into your bosom. Amen. God is a good God, amen. And Paul said, I'm not worried about being wealthy. I'm not concerned about your where. I'm not concerned about working. I don't mind working. I am talking about the weak. Let me give you my testimony. It's more blessed to give than to receive. God is going to bless me. So your homework for next week, where is that passage of scripture found at? Amen. And I'm sure you will have fun finding it. Well, praise the Lord. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I love seeing Paul's testimony going down here towards these guys, because as you see towards the end, he's not going to see them anymore. And just like a parent would do a child, if they weren't going to see them anymore, they gave them the last words of encouragement that they needed to hear, because these Ephesian elders would have to go on and carry the torch for Paul. And Paul said, concerning your wealth, concerning your where, concerning your work, and concerning the weak, you know my testimony. Now make that your testimony, because that's God's testimony. That's what God wants. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness in our lives. Lord, thank you for the things that we've been able to see in Scripture tonight about Jesus and, Lord, the clothing and the apparel that he had that was gambled for. And thank you so much for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to be givers, Lord, to be those that can work. Those that concerning wealth and where we're not covetous, Lord, and concerning the weak, Lord, we want to do our part to make sure that we're being a giver. Because, Lord, it is definitely more blessed to give than to receive. And we ought to support the weak and those that can't help themselves, Lord. And we'll always have poor with us. And so help us to be wise in our managing and in our giving and our stewardship. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and help us to be exactly what you would have us to be. Bless now, Lord, as we depart and go our separate ways. And Lord, as we embark upon Monday and Tuesday until we come back again on Wednesday, I pray that, Lord, we might go out and be examples about wealth, examples about where, examples about work, and examples about the weak. Thank you so much for loving us, God. Deliver your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.